Today's words of wisdom, SOS, a quick action to stop global warming, will be presented in Spanish and English, with subtitles in Arabic, Albanese or Vietnamese, Chinese, Dutch, English, French, German, Hebrew, Hindi, Hungarian, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Mongolian, Persian, Polish, Portuguese, Punjabi, Romanian, Russian, Thai, Turkish, Urdu, and Spanish.
México o los Estados Unidos Mexicanos están localizados en el sur de América del Norte. Su capital es la Ciudad de México, una de las ciudades más grandes de la Tierra. México es el sexto país más grande de las Américas y el quinceavo más grande del mundo. Tiene una población de aproximadamente 106 millones y por lo tanto es el onceavo país más poblado. Esta bella nación posee numerosos lugares calificados por la UNESCO como sitios Patrimonio de la Humanidad, tanto culturales como naturales.
Entre los sitios culturales, México presenta la antigua ciudad maya de Calakmul, el Tajín, una ciudad prehispánica, y las pinturas rupestres de la Sierra de San Francisco, por nombrar algunos. Los listados de sitios naturales según la UNESCO incluyen las islas y áreas protegidas en el Golfo de California y el Santuario de Ballenas de El Vizcaíno. Durante casi 3.000 años, México fue el sitio de varias civilizaciones amerindias. Las culturas mesoamericanas, como las de los olmecas, los mayas y los aztecas. Hoy en día, México alberga una riqueza de culturas únicas. Cada región cuenta con una cultura y lenguajes característicos.
En años recientes, México se ha tornado más proactivo en sus esfuerzos por proteger el medio ambiente, incluyendo la tema urgente del calentamiento global. En 2008, México fue alabado en el reporte de Banco Mundial Menos Carbono, América Latina enfrentada al desafío de cambio climático, por su Estrategia Nacional de Cambio Climático para reducir millones de toneladas de emisión de carbono.
Para informar al público acerca de la gravedad del calentamiento global y sus soluciones, los funcionarios del gobierno del estado de Veracruz organizaron varias conferencias de cambio climático, en las cuales la maestra suprema Xin Hai fue convocada como la invitada de honor especial. Durante estas conferencias, la maestra suprema Xin Hai cortésmente compartió sus percepciones y el mensaje de la solución individual más efectiva e inmediata para mitigar el calentamiento global, la dieta vegana.
Ahora les invitamos a unírsenos en la parte 2 de la retransmisión en 6 partes de la videoconferencia en vivo con la maestra suprema Xin Hai, titulada SOS, acción rápida para frenar el calentamiento global, el 16 de noviembre del 2009 en Orizaba, Veracruz, México.
We have our second guest speaker, the Honorable Mr. Alonso Dominguez Ferraez, General Coordinator of the Environment of the State of Veracruz.
He will join us here in the lovely city of Orizaba at this momentous event to discuss the ecological problems that society and the whole world face today. He has worked tirelessly to generate new green projects centering around better management of waste materials and improved care of the vast natural areas, the air and the water sources that provide life and abundance to the various regions of this state. Please welcome Mr. Dominguez Ferraez with a warm round of applause.
Buenas tardes y bienvenidos sean todos ustedes. Quiero saludar muy respetuosamente a la maestra Ching Hai y enviarle un sincero reconocimiento. Al mismo tiempo, agradecerle por compartir su importante mensaje con nosotros a través de esta importante tecnología que nos permite acercar dos regiones del planeta tan distantes y decirle, maestra Ching Hai, que en este auditorio se encuentran importantes ciudadanos que traen consigo la representación de diversas instituciones públicas y privadas, académicas, de investigación, de medios de comunicación, de organizaciones no gubernamentales y de asociaciones civiles y sin fines de lucro. Pero sobre todo, se encuentran en este auditorio padres de familia, amas de casa, estudiantes, jóvenes y niños que desean y se preocupan por un medio ambiente más sano, por un entorno ecológico limpio, por una ciudad, una región, un país y un planeta ambientalmente saludable. Todos hemos escuchado acerca del cambio climático, y no solo eso, sino que hemos empezado a experimentar sus estragos, como las inundaciones en las zonas costeras del estado hace unos años, o las lluvias extremas que provocan crecidas de los ríos como el de Balastrera, el mismo deshielo de los glaciares de nuestro querido Pico de Orizaba, y en un futuro, quién sabe cuántos fenómenos y tragedias más. Este es uno de los retos de mayor dimensión que ha tenido el ser humano. El haber pasado la cantidad de 350 partes por millón de dióxido de carbono en la atmósfera, aunado a la inmensa cantidad de metano y otros gases de efecto invernadero, es advertido como una amenaza para el actual estilo de vida de los seres humanos. Se trata de un gran reto porque implica el cambio de mentalidad hacia una en la cual se aprecie la satisfacción de necesidades no más allá de lo básicamente necesario. Tal vez el buscar esa máxima religiosa de buscar la felicidad por otros medios ajenos a lo material podría ser lo más indicado. Pero bueno, volviendo al problema terrenal, este cambio de mentalidad no consumista que tanto se ha hecho popular te haría, con la disminución de consumo de materiales y energía, un aumento no solo en la calidad ambiental, sino en las posibilidades de supervivencia de la raza humana. Desafortunadamente, la visión simplista de algunos economistas que imponen las reglas del desarrollo mundial ha vinculado la disminución del consumo de materia y energía con la disminución del Producto Interno Bruto y, en consecuencia, con la disminución del progreso y bienestar de los seres humanos. Sin embargo, una visión ecologista o ambientalista de la economía permite echar por los suelos esa pseudoteoría de la economía tradicional que el reducir los consumos materiales y energéticos implica la disminución del bienestar. En primer lugar, no necesariamente el bienestar de los seres humanos está relacionado con una medida económica como puede ser el Producto Interno Bruto. Y en segundo lugar, hablar de una disminución del consumo material y energético implica, en términos físicos y ecológicos, un aumento de la eficiencia del sistema. Pero no solo el reto es disminuir el consumo material y energético, sino también cambiar la fuente energética con la cual está basada la producción económica, mudando de las fuentes basadas en los combustibles fósiles a las energías renovables o basadas en la energía solar. Este reto implica un cambio tecnológico equiparable al descubrimiento del fuego en la historia de la humanidad. Mucha gente ha encontrado
objeciones a este cambio tecnológico, tanto de índole técnico como económico. Y es esta misma gente y todos nosotros quienes debemos erigirnos en líderes ambientalmente responsables del hoy para el bienestar de los habitantes de mañana. Esos son los retos que nos apremian para combatir el cambio climático. ¿Cómo podemos ver algunos son estratégicos y solo desde trincheras relevantes pueden impulsarse? Sin embargo, algunos otros deben acometerse desde las trincheras personales y locales, como es ese cambio de mentalidad consumista y derrochadora de energía, alimentos y materiales. Invito a todos ustedes a que empecemos a actuar. Cambiemos hábitos de consumo, de alimentación, de compras, de estilo de vida, por uno que nos lleve a ganar nuestra batalla contra el cambio climático. Finalmente, quiero destacar que esta ciudad, Orizaba, es una tierra bendecida con sus características que la hacen única, como sus dos bosques, el de niebla y el de alta montaña, rodeado de hermosos cerros verdes, con sus grandes cantidades de agua, con su clima envidiable, pero sobre todo con su gente como la que hoy se encuentra aquí. Gente comprometida con su bienestar que desde cada uno de sus espacios puede y se esfuerza por mandar el mensaje de respeto a nuestro entorno. Gente que está consciente y sabe que hoy más que nunca tenemos que proponer y actuar. Hacerle caso a nuestros niños y cuidar sus bosques, sus cuencas, sus ríos, sus lagunas, sus selvas, sus montañas, sus mares y todos y cada uno de los diferentes ecosistemas que componen este maravilloso planeta en el que se da el milagro de la vida. Y así, el día de mañana, si lo hacemos bien, la naturaleza y la madre tierra nos lo premie con más vida, con más biodiversidad, sino que nuestros hijos y los hijos de ellos nos lo reclamen. Verifica tu auto, separa tu basura, cuida el agua, ahorra energía, no desperdicies, reforesta. Muchas gracias.
Our sincere thanks, the Honorable Mr. Alonso Dominguez Ferraez. We appreciate your deep concern with the urgent issue of the global warming situation.
Our next video message is from the Honorable Andrew Bartlett, one of the most sincere politicians in Australia. A former senator, Mr. Bartlett recently announced his return to the Australian political scene as the Green candidate for the federal seat of Brisbane, a move applauded by many citizens. Mr. Bartlett is a vegan and an animal rights activist. Let's watch his message now.
Hello, my name's Andrew Bartlett. I'd like to welcome you to the Climate Change International Conference, the theme of SOS, Quick Actions to Stop Global Warming. We've gathered in Mexico to examine issues of climate change and to explore what ways we can all make a difference. There's a wide range of changes that need to happen. All of us will need to change our lifestyles, particularly those of us from wealthier countries. One of the quickest things we can do, removing meat and dairy products from our diet or even eating less of those products, makes an immediate benefit to the environment and particularly in regards to greenhouse emissions. But changing our diets doesn't cost anything, doesn't need any new technology, and will not cause any problems in regards to overall loss of jobs. It's a quick, easy, and very effective way to reduce the dangers of climate change as quickly as possible, because methane from livestock is a highly potent greenhouse gas, but it's also one that dissipates much more quickly than carbon dioxide. The less meat, the less dairy product you consume and others consume, those things do make a difference. And each time an extra person adds that message to the wider global community, then the more people will realise how important it is, and the more people will realise that they too can make a very immediate difference, reducing the dangers of climate change, reducing unnecessary animal suffering, reducing the impacts on the environment. During my time in Parliament and in politics more broadly, one of the crucial lessons I learnt is that every individual person can make a difference. Encourage others to speak out. There's letters to the editor, comments on websites, ringing into radio shows, raising the issue in your community, down at your clubs, everywhere where people gather. It's an issue that concerns everybody. It's an issue that is urgent, and we all can have a role to play. We all can make a difference, and we need to be doing it now. I'd like to wish you well for your gathering. Be veg, go green, to save our planet.
Our many thanks, Mr. Andrew Bartlett, for your words of hope and encouragement. And we especially appreciate that remind us that we can all make a change through our daily actions.
Our second speaker is Mr. Edgar Espinosa Cisneros. An environmental geographer, he also specializes in bioethics, particularly in the moral aspects of the relationship between humanity and the animals. Please welcome Mr. Espinosa Cisneros.
Buenas tardes. Gracias por estar aquí. Good afternoon. It's truly an honor to be here this afternoon, and I appreciate the wonderful opportunity to talk at this conference.
Ever since I began to reflect on the greatest justice and cruelty with the humans to treat animals, some of the first questions I asked myself were, what would be necessary to change current human attitudes and perceptions towards non-human animals for a better world for both? What would be one of the most important actions that we can take to achieve this? And also, how can we go about changing such unethical attitudes from the root? Since then, I've been on a philosophical journey trying to come up with an answer of how we can change in a positive direction. To introduce my statement, I must first talk briefly about the vision of an illustrious person and on whom this ideal is based. It is one of the many who have fought for animal rights and whom I deeply admire. George Engel was the founder of the Massachusetts Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, the most prominent figure in animal rights and the anti-cruelty movement in North America back in the 19th century. Rebelling against the paradigms of that time that little considered animal welfare, he fought against cruelty and in favor of animal rights of protection, kindness, and care. As part of his vision, Engel advocated the need for humane education, teaching people the principles of kindness, compassion, and respect for all life. He created a nationwide network of humane education clubs, especially destined for the young. However, Engel incorporated and presided over the American Humane Education Society, an organization designed to offer instruction to all age groups. For this and other reasons, Engel was a visionary and shared his belief.
I envision a world of humane education where compassion is instructed since birth and is placed at the core of our character. It is important to start at the basis of our educational system, at the root, inculcating compassion formally at all educational levels, but particularly in students in primary and secondary education, an age in which it is easier to reach the minds and hearts of people and where compassion can permeate more easily. This may include active socialization with animals since early childhood, including vegetarian diets in school cafeterias, and adopting an educational approach that values animals for what they truly are, loving sentient beings that deserve our respect and consideration. This is important for various reasons. First of all, Given that there are a range of different family scenarios in which children develop, this will guarantee that children will be instructed in compassion and humane values through formal educational institutions, notwithstanding family conditions. Secondly, from my personal experience, I've seen that targeting younger audiences is much easier because they're shaping their personal perceptions of society and the world itself, and thus can be more sensitive. It is no secret that the cultivation of compassion in current and future generations inexorably leads to a more integrated, caring, and peaceful society and citizens. Consequently, in my personal opinion, this subject should receive as much priority as other subjects such as science, math, or social studies. Also, as a result of instructing compassion, we would also promote better health in our children by feeding them a vegetarian diet. We must not forget that compassion is at the root of vegetarianism. Personally, it was compassion for animals and for our planet which made me and my family adopt a vegetarian diet. Aside from all the more short-term but very important measures that we can implement to help change the current unjust attitude toward animals, working from the basis of education is truly paramount. So, as mentioned before, this entails making a change at the root by injecting compassion and humane values into the moral dimensions of new generations that will lead the world in the near future, caring not only for their kind, but also for other creatures and the environment in general. In sum, it is necessary to advocate for including compassion and humane education into academic systems since the early stages of life, supported by national governments and communities alike, and for the medium to long-term benefit. However, the marvelous results are well worth the effort. Lastly, we should remember that human beings will not live in peace until they treat all beings that accompany us on this world with compassion and respect, regardless of differences. If humans are to evolve, and if evolving implies a positive connotation, then surely the path to follow in order to evolve is respect and reverence for all forms of life. Only then will we truly feel peace and satisfaction. So let's start instructing our children the entire scope of love, which includes not only our kind, but also animals, plants, and the environment in general, and start collaborating with national governments and ministries to include compassionate and humane education in our schools. Thank you very much. Gracias.
Thank you, Mr. Espinosa Cisneros, for your very relevant observations. Our next video message is for a famed Peruvian musician, animal activist, and artist, Mr. Pedro Alemant.
Mr. Alemant has found the ideal way to combine his love for the animals, music, and art through his project Futuro Vega Pop to help raise awareness about the plight of animals in factory farms and other abusive situations. Let's watch his message now.
Encerrado puedo ver en la carretera un camino de ilusiones desapareciendo, me siento el final, no lo comprendo, me da miedo pensar lo que viene luego. Confinado a un rincón, detrás de la brisa, la luz penetra en mí como una caricia.
Hola, mi nombre es Pedro Alemán, soy de Futuro de Gapop. Es un proyecto de arte que promueve el respeto a los animales a través de la música. Los animales en la sociedad son considerados esclavos. Los utilizamos para comerlos, para vestirnos con la piel de ellos, como entretenimiento, para experimentar con ellos. Y no nos damos cuenta que son individuos que tienen la capacidad de sentir. Tienen una capacidad de sentir como tú y como yo. Por tanto, merecen respeto y justicia. Nosotros podemos detener esto siendo vegano, llevando un estilo de vida 100% vegetariano. Quiero agradecer a SOS Conferencia Cambio Climático por la invitación y porque también existe un gran problema en este planeta, que es la amenaza que está pasando ahora por el cambio climático. La industria de la carne es la que ocasiona que este problema se vaya agravando, ¿no? Por tanto, está en manos de cada uno de nosotros poder detener esto. Si de verdad te importan los demás animales, hazte vegano. Gracias.
Thank you very much,
muchas
Mr.
Gracias,
Alemán,
señor
for that
Alemán,
beautiful message.
Este mensaje.
Our next guest speaker is a marine biologist, Ms. Annette Bodia, who has a big heart for all animals. She's founder of the Humane Society Perros in Puerto, in Puerto Escondido, Oaxaca, the first organization of his kind in the state. Let's please welcome Ms. Bodia.
Good evening. I'm very honored to be here tonight with you and to be able to share some of my experiences I had since I started helping the street dogs. Okay, the street dogs in Mexico. A friend of mine asked me once, Annette, why dogs, why Mexico? And the more I thought about his question, the more I realized it wasn't actually a conscious decision of mine. It was more like a matter of circumstances that led me to undertake this project to help dogs. I actually was on the way to South America, and I came to Mexico in late 2005 after I left India, where I had been working as a teacher, trying to implement new teaching strategies on environmental education to secondary schools. I really enjoyed that work. However, after my dog Chaya was poisoned, I left India very heartbroken because I just thought it was time to move on and I just needed to start a new project somewhere else. Within months of arriving in Mexico, I was adopted by a street dog. And she was a little puppy I found on the street. And although I wasn't ready to have that dog at the time because I knew I had to travel a long way to get to Ecuador still, I couldn't give her away, and after I looked after her for 2 months already. So I decided to keep her, and I traveled with her down to Puerto Escondido. While living there, I found a place that really suited me well and where I could do a lot of good work. And I founded the Association Perros en Puerto with the idea in mind to help the street dogs and to better the community and make the lives for the animals more pleasant there. Since the formation of the Humane Society in August last year, we have rescued and helped many animals, not just dogs, but also cats. And our main purposes are really the aspect of rescuing animals and looking after them, trying to control the overpopulation of animals, especially dogs through sterilization campaigns, and trying to educate the community with regard to animal care. I'm sure you all know the saying that dogs are men's best friends. To me personally, however, this relationship has become a lot more meaningful. It has become a relationship of unconditional love, loyalty, and caring between two species that are able to understand each other and respect each other. Tonight I would like to share a story with you, a story about a young puppy, which really touched my life in a very special way, and her name was Pancha. I met her while I was driving home one Sunday in October last year, and I saw this tiny little skinny puppy dragging her sad body along the street, and I immediately stopped and got out and picked her up, and As I picked her up, I realized she had 2 injured legs and she couldn't walk anymore. So I took her to the vet the next day and he diagnosed her with a fractured spine and trapped nerves and basically said she was able to regain her ability to walk again, but it would be a long way to recovery. However, 6 months later, she managed to actually start walking again. And after intense medication, a long, long time of confinement and a therapy that was most importantly, love and affection. Pancha was what I would call a very determined and happy spirit even throughout the difficult months of her recovery. She had trained me well to respond to all kinds of barking, like when she wanted to have food, when she wanted to be carried back from the garden into the house while she still couldn't walk. Once she was able to walk, she would come out with us every morning on our daily beach walk, and she was always the first one out the door, squealing like a little pig, being so happy, and just being happy that she could walk again. She became my right-hand help after I opened a shelter for orphaned and abandoned street puppies. She was eager to adopt them all. She developed a maternal instinct that was incredible. And she was just the best puppy sitter I've ever had, really. Sadly, Pancha died. She drowned in a tragic accident in August this year, and we still all miss her. Her loving and happy spirit, especially the puppies, miss her because they all lost their mama. Although Pancha is no longer with us in body, in the short time we were privileged to have her in our lives, she taught us much about love and compassion, attributes that not only we humans share, but also animals can share among each other. They have the same feelings as we are. They can hurt. If you hurt them, they feel pain. They feel happiness. They suffer neglect and abuse. So what I would like to say is that although we care for the animals on the street, we also want to help the humans and animals to live together peacefully and respectfully. We need to give to the animals, not only our companion animals, a chance to live a full and dignified life. Maybe if we can become more sensitive towards animal needs, we will be able to make a change. And which leaves me with only one question for you to ponder on tonight is, what can you do as an individual to make a difference in an animal's quality of life? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Baudier. We know that the animals make so much difference in our life, and they love us unconditionally. And thank you for reminding us that we have to love them too.
El mensaje me parece muy importante para todos a nivel mundial. Es un mensaje muy claro, tanto para adultos como para jóvenes. Es una conferencia muy didáctica, muy instructiva para salvar al planeta, sobre todo para volvernos más sanos en cuerpo y en mente.
¿Estarías dispuesta a cambiar a una dieta vegetariana?
Ese es mi propósito de ser vegetariana, de ser ecológica y de salvar al planeta. Para todo el planeta lo que nos convendría ya es ser vegetarianos, dejar que los animales vivan libremente y nosotros comer lo que Dios nos da, la naturaleza, los vegetales, la ecología, cuidar más el agua, el medio ambiente y cuidar nuestro planeta.
Usted como ciudadana del mundo, ¿qué aconsejaría hacer a todos los ciudadanos del mundo?
Bueno, pues a mí me gustaría que todos se concientizaran de que realmente esto es un grave problema que se está presentando mundialmente, ¿no? Que no nada más es algo, como dice la maestra, es algo abstracto, sino es algo que se está viviendo. Y nosotros nos hemos dado cuenta por los cambios que se han venido actualmente en cuanto al clima, ¿no? Muchos cambios, muchos desastres que han, se han afectado a nuestra humanidad. Porque eso, como dice ella, no es una solución de los gobernantes, sino de todos los que habitamos este planeta, ¿no? Y de nosotros depende la solución, que nosotros pongamos nuestro granito de arena. Sé vegetariano, sé ecológico, salva al planeta.
Gracias por su reconfortante presencia en el episodio de hoy de Palabra de Sabiduría. Por favor, únanse a nosotros mañana para la parte 3 de la retransmisión de la videoconferencia en vivo SOS, Acción Rápida para Frenar el Calentamiento Global. Ahora, quédense en la sintonía de Supreme Master Television para un viaje a través de los reinos estéticos a continuación después de Noticias de Interés. Les deseamos alegría, paz y prosperidad.
Thank you for your warm-hearted presence for today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please join us again tomorrow for part 3 of the rebroadcast of the live video conference, SOS, a quick action to stop global warming. Now please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for a journey through aesthetic realms, coming up next right after Noteworthy News. We wish you joy, peace and prosperity.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW.